Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending upon where you are in the world today. My name is David Sandoval, and you are listening to www.blogtalkradio, and this is Living, Loving, and Laughing with David Sandoval. We've also added recently Living, Loving, and Laughing, and Fighting with David Sandoval, and that is because we have decided that we're going to use this show to stand up, to count, to be counted, and to fight back against, to push back against what has been a pretty heavy push against us, against our freedom, and the most important freedom, that is our freedom from disease. And as promised, today we have a very interesting and exciting show. We're going to talk about radiation. We're going to talk about what is in the news, what is all a buzz, what seems to be the cause of panic, misinformation, disinformation. And, of course, when we know that when the lights are turned on, the cockroaches scramble, and nothing sheds light like the truth. And so we will spread the truth. We will share the light today. And we will, of course, not have time to cover everything today, so today will be one in sort of a three-part series, which will be Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. So please do stay tuned, but we are going to cover a lot of very, very interesting information today. Now, what a lot of people have been asking is what a lot of people have been hearing about, and that is, what type of danger are we really under? So we're going to cover that today. And I want to put your mind at ease that, as usual, slow and steady will win the race, and that there is no huge reason to panic at this moment, although there was always a reason to use the current events as a way of gaining perspective and a way of increasing our awareness and our preparedness against certain events. So I promised you a few things today. I promised you that we were going to talk about five most important things that you need in your preparation kit and why. And I was going to talk about five favorite foods to protect against radiation. And that's always a good thing, I guess. And then the last thing I was going to do, if I could remember, because I'm going off memory here, is I think I was going to tell you the five things that you could do and I apologize, the five greatest risks from radiation. What are your five greatest risks from radiation in the world today? So once again, the five foods that will protect you from radiation, and then of course the five greatest risks of radiation will be covered as well. So now you are probably not a first-time listener to this show, but if you are a first-time listener to this show, you know that this is a show dedicated to what we call holistic living. It's a show dedicated to what we call naturopathy. And naturopathy dictates that, that we provide the body with the raw materials it needs in order to keep us healthy. And today we're sort of going to talk about how we could act in a defensive mode, how we could actually prepare the body. And so we're going to give you the five things that prepare, you know, that you will need in your survival kit, in your preparedness kit. That's going to be, of course, part one. But there's also that other, type of preparedness. And that type of preparedness are the foods that we eat. And we talk about how food, and I don't mean the type of food that we store. I'm talking about the type of food that we eat every day. That type of preparedness is the type of thing that creates an environment in our body and the environment in our body is then prepared for, you know, for what it might encounter in the future. And so the food that we eat has this amazing ability to prepare our body for what it might encounter in the future. Because all foods have phytochemistry, and that phytochemistry is like an army. And that army of phytochemicals exists within the plant for the purpose of being ready. So you've got the part of the plant that's sort of like the CIA of the plant. And it looks for some infiltrators, like viruses or yeast or mold, for spores. And so it has antiviral, antifungal, you know, anti-yeast properties, certain plants do. It's really strong. And other plants have a strong army that's really good at fighting, for example, radiation. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. Mastering the art of phytochemistry is mastering the art of eating foods. And so phytochemistry and naturopathy, they go hand in hand. So in naturopathy, we talk about preparing the body for what it might encounter, strengthening the body's defenses for what it might encounter, even if it may never encounter them at all. And so plants, of course, have an amazing ability to survive. And phytochemistry is using what the knowledge of plants, this amazing thing called phytochemistry, is nothing more than using the knowledge and the intelligence of plants and showing our own intelligence by tapping into it. So phytochemistry and naturopathy go hand in hand. But again, I want to thank you for tuning in to the show. I want to remind you that this show is about encouraging you to appreciate this amazing and the magnificent gift that we call life. And during this show, we will expose you to some different ideas, some different ways of thinking. We may challenge you, stimulate you. We might offend you. We might educate you. But that's okay, because you're an independent thinking and intelligent person. And if you do not agree with me, that is okay, but I am here to stimulate your thought. But one thing I hope you will not disagree with me is that we live in a world where danger is around us. I remember during my lifetime, two times during my lifetime, there were riots of significant nature. When you look at what's going on in the streets in Libya, yeah, maybe there's not tanks, but I'll tell you, there was gunfire, and there was death, and there were buildings being burned, and there were stores being looted, and there were trees burning, and the police were outnumbered, and they were at war with the local population. That's right. It was not unlike Libya or Egypt two times in my lifetime. And during those several days of rioting, there was no food available. Oftentimes, the electricity was turned off because people were throwing things onto the electrical wires and shorting out the boxes, and the repair crews were afraid to come out. And there was the danger of fires burning, etc. So food, water, electricity were shut off for days. And I remember being very thankful for the fact that we survived. During my lifetime, I've lived through earthquakes. When I lived in Oroville, an earthquake of 7.5, 7.4, that was a big, big earthquake. And everybody was afraid that Oroville Dam, the largest landfill dam, second largest landfill dam in the world now, at the time, the largest landfill dam. There's a larger one now in Russia. And they were afraid that dam was going to break because of that earthquake. And everybody lived in fear that that dam was going to break. Well, you see, during my lifetime, I've seen the earthquake in Haiti. I've seen the earthquake in Japan. I've seen the tsunami in Indonesia. I've seen wars and famines. I've seen so many times where people's worlds have been turned upside down. I remember living through the fear of Y2K, that the computer world was going to shut down and suddenly everybody would be without. And during that time, people talked about storing food and yada, yada, yada. And I remember telling people, that is not preparedness. Preparedness is being healthy. Preparedness is being strong. But preparedness is also being able to live. And so the five things that you must have for your survival. Number one, you need to think about every single person who is in your family must have a bicycle with strong tires and gears. If they're too small, then you have a seat for them on your bicycle. If they're somewhere in the middle, well, you're as slow as your slowest person. But bicycles are your best source of transportation. You need to have a bicycle rack on your car so that you could take your car as far as you can, but when you need to, you will have an alternate form of transportation, no fuel required, because one of the first things that happens is gasoline is not available. And running day-to-day tasks, going in search of water or food, etc., or having to travel, evacuate, exodus, is easier if you don't have a car, if you have bicycles. Two adults on mountain bikes could cover 50 miles in a day. And 50 miles is about how far you need to get away from a nuclear reactor. Think about it. Bicycles. Secondly, you're going to need pure water, clean water. That means that you need to have a water filtration system that is portable, that is guaranteed reliable. And I've got an amazing discovery we're going to talk about Sunday night. The ancient art of healing with herbs. I'm going to tell you about a precious element from the earth that has the ability to denature and purify water. Just a few drops in even the dirtiest water. You're going to need a form of water purification or filtration, because if you don't know the law of threes, the law of threes dictates that if you go 3 minutes without air, 3 hours in direct sunlight, 3 days without water, again, 3 minutes without air, 3 hours in direct sunlight, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. That's considered the law of threes, and it dictates that you will die if you are 99% of people, the law of threes. Well, that's why pure water is so important, because you need to get your water within 3 days of when it's cut off from your source. You need water within 3 days or you're going to die. Well, even 1 day is too long. So having a form of water purification, because even stored water, what are you storing the water in? And how do you know that that water isn't growing bacteria? You say, yeah, that's right. Just sitting there. What are you going to do? Put bleach in it? That's one solution. But water purification, or a source of pure water, it's hard to carry 5-gallon bottles of water with you on your bicycle, too. So maybe a nice source of water purification where you know that you could get water. Now, number three, after water, is warmth. Okay, you're going to need to always have thermal blankets. And thermal blankets are really awesome. Thermal blankets are as thin as paper. They fold up the size of a napkin, and they cover your entire body. And they hold in your natural heat. Of course, you're going to have regular clothes, but thermal blankets could keep you alive and keep you from getting frostbite. And I would get more than one. There's actually like rain suit type. They're very inexpensive, one size fit all rain suit type thermal blankets that you can just put over your body and sleep in. It'll keep you from freezing to death if you're caught in the woods or in the mountains or something, and you can't make a fire. Okay, the next thing is food. Okay, number four is food. Number one, of course, we already said. Number two and three, but number four is food. Now, a lot of people don't realize that Purium Health Products, the sponsor of this company, has a long history of popularity among survival groups, among Mormons, among Seventh-day Adventists, among people who are parts of militia groups, among people who are part of, I'm serious. We don't choose our customers, and I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying that people who believe in storing food as part of either their religion or their belief system of survival and preparedness love our food. And the reason why is because not only could it be stored between 2 and 5 years, which means if you buy it today, and you use it within 2 years because it's very good for you every day of your life, and just replace it. Always keep a 2-month supply of each of your favorite products, Master Aminos, Power Shake, BioFruit, your fruits, your vegetables, your protein, your healthy fats, your carbohydrates. All of it right there in those three products. Master Aminos, BioFruit, and, of course, the Power Shake, and all of a sudden you've got everything you need to survive for at least 2 weeks. Now, the typical time that relief takes to get to people in distress is 2 weeks. Be nice if you were very healthy and strong during those 2 weeks, even if no other food was available. So you're going to need transportation. That's your bike. You're going to need to drink water. That's your purification system. You're going to need to keep warm. Those are your thermal blankets. You're going to need to eat. Okay, and that's your stored food. Now, what do you think the last thing is? Okay, I'm giving you time to think. Roll it over in your mind. You've got your transportation so you could get out and get around and get supplies or get out of town if you need to. You're going to have some water. That's good because you're going to get thirsty, right? You're going to have a thermal blanket so you don't freeze to death. That's the base, that's the end line. Nobody wants to freeze to death. You don't think of that as a thermal blanket isn't exactly comfort. Stored food, okay. We know that. Okay, we're good to go. Well, guess what? The last thing you have to have is your health. That's right. You have to have your health, because if you're not strong enough to ride that bike, if you're not strong enough to survive, then you're not going to, because we still live in the survival of the fittest world. So in your preparedness kit, you need transportation, water, food, and warmth. But you also need to be strong to protect yourself and your family. You're listening to Living, Loving, and Laughing with David Sandoval. This is our show specifically about radiation, but I also wanted to start out by giving my survival kit, because my survival kit, that health part, has to do with being prepared. It leads us into how do we, what are the five favorite foods to protect against radiation? And we're going to talk about those five favorite foods to protect against radiation. That food preparedness, that health preparedness. How are the foods that you eat today going to protect you against the radiation you might experience tomorrow? A knee-jerk reaction of, oh, by the way, the wolf is at the door, and so then you start thinking that maybe you didn't build the house strong enough. Yeah, I'm going to the Three Little Pigs. What could I say? But it's the truth, right? House of straw gets blown down, and the house of bricks stays up. So here's the thing. I'm going to get back to the five foods that are most able to protect you against cancer and why. But first, we need to talk about why radiation, or not against cancer, against radiation and the cancer it might cause. What do we need to know? There's so many things we need to know about radiation. Well, according to the American Nuclear Society, we have a lot of danger all around us. There are many, many sources of radiation. Now, let's talk about the stuff we can't avoid. Okay, then we're going to talk about how much our body could actually handle. Okay? I guess we could start with that. You begin to have a dramatically increased risk of dying from cancer if you accumulate 250,000 mrems, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that millirems. Okay, so about 3,000 millirems a year if you're going to live to be 80, but I want to live to be 120. So that means I could only get about 2,000 millirems a year if I want to be 120. Now, they say the average total dose rate in the USA is 360 millirems a year. Okay, so right now, just from the stuff they say is going on in the earth, etc. So let's, with that as our point of reference, we have to understand that we're exposed to radiation all the time. And that one of those types of radiation is called cosmic radiation. Now, this radiation comes from the atmosphere, but it comes from far out, far away from the earth, far out in space, not only from our sun, but from other suns as well. Now, the earth's atmosphere does a pretty good job of blocking cosmic radiation, but the higher you are, let's say you're up in the mountains, then the air is thinner, and the higher level of cosmic radiation you might be exposed to. Now, if you're at sea level, it's only about 25 millirem a year. But if you're living at an altitude of 1 mile, let's say Denver, Colorado, 5,000 feet, it's double that at 50 millirem a year. So what you basically, you know, have to do is now take that 360 and probably add 25, because they're doing that as the person at regular sea level. So now we're up to 385. But then there's terrestrial radiation. Now this is due to radiation from things that come from the Earth, specifically minerals, like uranium, thorium. And there's other radioactive materials that naturally occur in soil. Now, the average value is about 30 millirem a year. Now, if you're along the ocean, you're very lucky because that's cut in half. But if, again, if you live up in the mountains, sorry, mountain people, that's maybe why mountain retreat is a good idea. It could be twice as much in, let's say, Colorado. And so all of a sudden, if you live in the mountains, again, for another type of radiation, you could add another 30 millirems a year, and now you're up to 405, or about 20% of your risk. And we do go on. Now, foods contain carbon-14. Now, carbon-14, as you know, is that thing which has a half-life that lets us figure out exactly how old stuff is, but also healthy things like potassium and other minerals. And this is why I always tell people minerals are best when taken in, they're called, again, they're not micronutrients, they're not macronutrients, they're micronutrients, so they should be taken in micro amounts. And so a wide variety of minerals is very important. But these high potassium supplements, they bother me. And any really high dose multivitamin bothers me. So again, foods naturally contain radiation. And everything that's alive, humans, animals, we all contain radionuclides. So we are, in some way, radioactive to the tune of about 40 millirem a year. So if you're always around a lot of crowds, if you're constantly around a lot of people, the way that I am, I mean, I am always in groups of people giving lectures, tours, trade shows. Then you could increase your dose to about double. And so that's going to add another 40. So now I'm up to 445 MREM or millirem a year. Well, you know, nuclear weapons fallout, well, I guess from the Nagasaki and Hiroshima and the tests done in Utah and the tests done around the world, the tests done in North Korea recently, they say that adds about 1 millirem. Watching TV gives you about 1 millirem. Porcelain false teeth give you about 1 millirem every 10 years. That stuff doesn't really matter. But what about things like, this is where it gets crazy, medical use of radiation. Medical use of radiation is absolutely insane. So right now, you look at how this is happening. I'm doing this to make a point. I'm doing this to make a point that everything has a tipping point. Everything has a saturation point. And what I want to teach you to do is I'm going to teach you to defend your body against radiation, but first I need to show you exactly where it's coming from and why, so you get a grip on it, just the way that I teach. I hope that you don't mind. I hope I'm not boring you to death. But right now, they say that the radiation that most people get, if typical person, is about 360 millirem a year. But we've already seen that because I have a certain lifestyle, where I spend a good amount of time, you know, in my mountain retreat. I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. You know, I'm around people all the time. cosmic radiation. They say the reason you get a small amount of radiation when you're in an airplane flight is because you're outside of the atmosphere. Well, I'm constantly flying overseas in airplanes. And so I have an additional increase rate of cosmic radiation. So living in the mountains. But did you know that if you live in certain parts of the world, in India and in Brazil, there's a lot of thorium in the sand, and in the dose rate could be much, much higher. In Kerala, India, and in Minas Gerais, they get 1,000 MREM a year just from the earth. Now remember that they measure it in a lifetime, over your lifetime, 250,000. Now, in these places, they're getting 1,000 MREM a year. Doesn't sound like very much just from the earth, but if you add in every other factor, it's very significant. It means over 80 years you've added 80,000 or taken 80,000 off, meaning that you'd better really, really be careful about your other sources of radiation. Now, did you know that inhaled radon is estimated about 200 millirem a year? Radon comes from the earth. And it gets trapped inside of buildings. And if you don't thoroughly aerate that building, then, again, this is another source of radiation. And why am I talking about this? Because we're reaching this tipping point, okay? We reach this tipping point where in the background we're getting a certain amount of cosmic radiation. And if you fly on airplanes, that's increased dramatically. If you live in the mountains, it's increased dramatically. We're talking about terrestrial radiation that comes from the earth. And if you don't get out of your house, if you don't aerate your house, that increases dramatically. If you live in certain parts of the world where it's greater in the earth, you need to be aware of it because that increases dramatically. If you eat foods that are really rich in potassium all of the time, then you just need to be aware that potassium is one of the richest sources of radiation in food. If you're around crowds of people all of the time, if you're really close to people, shaking hands, hugging, not one person, but multiple people all the time, you absorb radon from each of them. And, of course, watching TV and other things like that. Living close to a nuclear power plant, living close to a coal-fired power plant, living close, you know, to or using a microwave. But these pale in comparison when you add up another type of radiation. And, again, what's going to happen here, what I want to prove to you is, when they tell you that the amount of radiation being released from any single event like this event in Japan, when they tell you that, they're acting as though you live in a vacuum. Oh, well, the amount of radiation you typically get from eating, walking with your bare feet over rocks for an hour. Well, guess what? You only could absorb so much radiation in your lifetime. And then you reach a tipping point where it starts to trigger death by cancer. So shouldn't we be aware of what our count is? Shouldn't we be adding it up just like we are cholesterol? Yes, we should, and I want to teach people to do that. And so right now, if I want to live to be 120, my maximum tolerance for MREMS, millirems of radiation, is 2,000 a year. And I'm already up to 445, conservatively speaking, just from cosmic radiation, terrestrial radiation, food radiation, people radiation, contamination radiation that existed before Japan. Now, according to the American Nuclear Society, this is where the real danger lies. The following are typical dose levels from various medical tests. Let's just say you're going to get your hand x-rayed or your foot x-rayed. No problem. That's 1 millirem. A dental x-ray, 1 millirem. Chest x-ray, 6 millirem. When you start getting into something like a CAT scan or a upper GI x-ray, or even worse, a barium enema, you're looking at hundreds. So you have to be very careful over your lifetime how many x-rays and what type of x-rays are you going to have. Well, let's hope that you don't have that many, because one is pretty significant. What if you're an x-ray technician and you're working in a hospital? What if you have medical issues? Radon, cosmic radiation, terrestrial radiation, man-made sources of radiation, medical radiation. Wow. Now, if you get a single dose of 450 REM, that's 450,000 millirem, 50% of people are going to die. So if you're next to a nuclear power plant and there's a quick blast, that means that these brave, amazing heroes who are giving their lives, not risking their lives, who are giving their lives freely, knowingly, out of obligation and love of country and family, these are the greatest heroes of my lifetime. And there have been so many, and I'm sure that I could say they're equal to some of the greatest heroes of my lifetime. Now, we have some, foods that could help protect us against radiation. I just wanted to make sure I had all these things covered, because a lot of people don't realize that one of the major sources of radon, of radiation, which is radon, leads to lung cancer. And we could get rid of that. It's the second leading cause of lung cancer after cigarettes. So if you just open your windows, especially after a rain, get a fan and pull air through one window and out the other. Change the air, especially it rises. So have ventilation fans and let them run. And did you know that, not that you want to spend your life indoors, but being indoors actually helps protect you against radiation as well. But half of the radiation to which the U.S. population is exposed to comes from CT scans, x-rays, and nuclear medicine. and medical radiation exposure is much more common now than it has ever been before. And so we have to, in my opinion, we have to be very, very... Now, what about this whole iodine thing? We're about to talk about my five favorite foods. We just covered your five greatest risks for exposure. And, of course, the one that we didn't mention yet, the one we're getting to, or we sort of did, is this nuclear waste. So we know that cosmic radiation and indoor radiation and food radiation and man-made radiation, those are the top four. And the number five is this nuclear radiation that comes from disasters. Those are our five greatest risks for radiation. Now remember, we can't do much about the cosmic radiation except for rebuild our ozone layer. That would be a good thing. Go outdoors when it's cloudy. Stay indoors more often than you are not. But that's sort of funny. You don't want to become a mole person. Vitamin D is so important. So that's something that we just have to live with. But the things we can do, you know, the things we can do is we could eat better food. And right now there's this crazy thing. It's this iodine. People are going crazy over, you know, iodine supplements that are probably not going to offer much hope. You know, they're not even going to offer much help. So right now I want to sort of clear the air about why iodine may be helpful, and then again, why it may not be, okay? You know, sunlight has a lot of different types of energy, and, you know, one thing we didn't talk about in the cosmic radiation is how much of that energy comes from infrared and ultraviolet light. And when we talk about the foods that are best to help protect us against radiation, we can't forget that solar radiation is the one constant source of radiation in our lives. And that plants that grow in the soil and that survive because of the sun must have learned to deal with radiation a long time ago, and we're going to learn from them. But this incredible panic buying of potassium iodide tablets is really ridiculous. Do you know that potassium iodide could only protect you against cancer of the thyroid? And only when properly administered. Because potassium iodide, if taken just before exposure, saturates the thyroid gland with a natural source of iodine. And when it is saturated, when the thyroid is saturated with healthy iodine, it cannot absorb any additional iodine. And thus the thyroid is protected. But how do you know that specific moment or that specific hour or day that you're going to be exposed to iodine-129 or iodine-131? This is typically a gaseous form of iodine. Now, stores are selling, and people are selling on Craigslist, I saw for over $100, something that should sell for $7 or $8. That's usury. But the theory is proper. The theory is proper is to naturally saturate the thyroid with healthy iodine, but not by taking potassium iodide in large amounts just prior to a measured event that you're knowledgeable of and in anticipation of and prepared for. You know that, again, cesium-137 and these other isotopes, these are of equal concern. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this is because I want to tell you about my five favorite foods to help fight or defend against radiation. You know, when you have a nuclear disaster, the iodine will turn to gas, and it'll spread out, and it'll disappear fairly quickly. So you have very little warning when that happens. So potassium iodide offers false promise. You see, iodine is a chemical. Its symbol is I, of course, simple. It's non-metallic. Comes in radioactive and non-radioactive isotopes. And if you have enough natural iodine in your diet from food, then you could virtually keep it from going into your body. Iodine has a tendency to collect in the thyroid. That's why it's used in medical imagery. And people typically come in contact with it because they inhale it as a gas. It dissolves in water, so you're not going to know if it comes from there. So again, potassium iodide is, it just is false promise, and I don't think it's very smart medicine. But what you could do, again, in preparation, is eat good, healthy, proper foods. And the five foods that I like best, first is spirulina. Now, spirulina, and most of the foods I'm going to tell you are green foods. That's the crazy part, green foods. So I got to tell you, why are green foods the most important foods to help fight radiation? How many people remember there was this movie? It was a great movie. It was about a submarine, a Russian nuclear-powered submarine that was spying on the U.S. by going under the polar ice caps when it had a nuclear meltdown. And they kept radioing Moscow, what do we do, what do we do? And they said, well, eat green vegetables. Go up to the surface, just gather and get all the green vegetables you possibly could and eat as much as you possibly could. It's the only thing that'll save you. Well, they couldn't find any green vegetables. I remember them kept saying to themselves after they got off with Moscow, yes, of course, that's what we'll do, because you don't say no to Moscow. They were on a secret mission, and no one knew where they were. And the answer was eat green vegetables, of which they had none. Well, green plants, why green plants? Well, green plants are constantly assaulted by radiation. Radiation from the sun. And as a consequence, green plants, and again, green plants perform photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is the processing of sunlight. So let's say that your job is to handle tigers. My guess is that you're going to have the proper tools. You're going to be able to have something that keeps the tiger from scratching you or biting you or attacking you. If you are a person who washes windows, and you're on high rises, you're probably going to have an apparatus that keeps you from falling. And the reason I'm saying these silly examples is because form follows function. In nature, if it is chlorophyll's job to process ultraviolet and radioactive light, then it must have figured out how to process it without being harmed by it. That, my friends, is phytochemistry. Now, green plants spend their day absorbing sunlight, processing sunlight, making good things out of sunlight, and protecting yourself in a serious event involves more than simply taking potassium iodide. High levels of iodide might protect the thyroid and the gland system, and that's a good thing. But they don't protect the rest of your body. However, spirulina, the first of our products, and chlorella, the second of our products, actually offer some pretty amazing phytochemistry to the body, because they can help eliminate the toxic radiation after exposure. And they can protect the organs upon exposure. And these are the areas that are not typically protected by potassium iodide. Now, we all know that chlorella and spirulina and other algae have a lot of powerful nutrients, antioxidants, things that are amazing for our body, for athletes, for the elderly, for children, for the sick. But what about the radiation protection that spirulina might offer? In 1989, researchers from Zhongkai Agricultural and Technological College in China found that spirulina significantly reduces gamma radiation-induced micronucleus frequencies in bone marrow. Bone marrow cancer is, of course, very common after nuclear radiation, and the reason why is because bone marrow produces new blood cells. And bone marrow keeps our lymphatic system healthy. You know that in the Ukraine, spirulina proved effective at increasing the antioxidant levels, that the type of antioxidants like phosphate and pyruvate, and this helps detoxify the effects of radiation in the body. A 2001 study showed that spirulina protects against the damage caused by chemotherapy and the damaging effects of gamma radiation during medical treatments. This is pretty good evidence. In 1993, the Radiation Medical Institute in Belarus confirmed that spirulina effectively decreases the radiation load received by the body, especially if you're consuming food that's already been contaminated. So in Japan right now, all that contaminated food is not being consumed. Maybe it could be consumed if they added spirulina to it in a dire emergency. You know, chlorella, my second favorite food for detoxification, chlorella is amazing. It has more chlorophyll than any other food. In 1989, the Czechoslovak Academy of Science demonstrated that chlorella increased the production of bone marrow, increased spleen stem cells. It greatly improved the survival rates among mice with high levels of radiation gamma radiation exposure. In India, they found that chlorella protected against these mutating effects and cancerous effects of radiation. In 1995, it goes on. I've got a list of studies in front of me. Spirulina and chlorella are amazing at defending the body against the areas that iodine doesn't. But what about iodine? Well, that brings us to my third favorite food, and it is sea kelp and sea dulse. Sea kelp and sea dulse are both rich in naturally occurring iodine. And when you take them regularly on a daily basis, then you're going to be naturally saturated with iodine. And when your thyroid is naturally saturated with iodine, it will not absorb the unnatural iodine. And that's a beautiful thing. My next favorite food has got to be amla. Now, amla could be found in Sea from Nature. Amla is an herb from India. Amla is an herb from India that is really great at helping protect the organs of the body, like the liver and the spleen and other things. And amla has been shown to have this tremendous protective effect also against radiation. And finally, it's a tie. There's so many green foods on our list. So let's say spirulina. Chlorella is number one. Spirulina is number two. Let's go ahead and give sea kelp and sea dulcet a tie for number three. We'll give number four to amla. And then we'll give number five to aloe vera. Aloe vera is amazing at helping heal skin and organs and anything in the lungs and your stomach where you might be exposed to food. And so aloe vera, and I see that we're running out of time, so I just want to remind you that at phporder.com, www.phporder.com, that there is a really amazing list of products there. And one of them I want you to know about is Best of Greens. Best of Greens has spirulina, it has chlorella, it has sea kelp, it has sea dulse, and it has wheatgrass. If you go on phporder.com, you'll also find 40X aloe vera, the most potent aloe vera extract in the world, and Sea from Nature, a powerful source of amla berry, the amla sea that we're speaking of. And this is part of an amazing protective, you know, lifestyle. I'm not telling you that you're going to die immediately from radiation exposure. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that if we have these foods regularly in our diet on a daily basis, we are ready. We are prepared. And by the way, the side effects of taking these foods are extreme health. There's a real bummer. That strength we talked about, that's part of your survival. Now, when we come back, remember that we didn't talk about barium, we didn't talk about cesium, and those are the other two powerful, powerful carcinogenic compounds found in radiation, and they stick around a lot longer than does radioactive iodine or iodine 29 or 32. So again, what we want to do is we want to give you the knowledge that is your power, so you do not live in fear. Someone says to you, what do you think about the radiation? You say, you know what, I know what my exposure is, and I know that in my lifetime I want to keep my total exposure under 250,000 milligrams. And that if I cannot do that, I'm going to eat a lifestyle of food that will allow me to absorb two or three or four or five times more than that and still survive. And that's what I want to teach you to do, not only survive, but to thrive, not to fear, but to live in the light of knowledge that sets you free. It really is the greatest freedom in the world, is freedom from disease. So I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you that on this show will run again tomorrow, an encore, a replay. This show will run once again tomorrow at this time. And I will be back on Friday with a continuation of this very subject with some amazing information about a simple mineral that exists in the earth, that could actually help you detoxify cesium and barium from your water and from your food and from your body. And when added to a nice green food diet, is an amazing thing. And by the way, did I mention it will purify your water as well? I'm going to tell you all about it. It's the ultimate gift for the survival kit. And we're going to see if I can't make you more knowledgeable about it and even have a special offer for you by the time Sunday rolls around. Okay, so thank you once again for tuning in. This has been Dave Sandoval, www.blogtalkradio.com. And I want to encourage you to live. I want to encourage you to love. And I want to encourage you to laugh just a little bit more today.